This is Gabriel Wrench with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Wednesday, January 8, 2020. More on Australian fires. Yesterday, Toby reported that in the 1990s, Bob Carr's Liberal Labor government began a massive forest lockup program. Peter Austin writes at inland.com.au, before that greening frenzy began, soon after Carr came to office in 1995, national parks and reserves accounted for some 4.8% of New South Wales. Today, the total area of the state, controlled by the National Parks and Wildlife Service, is more than 9%. In less than 20 years, the area of national parks and related reserves has virtually doubled. But the resources deployed to manage this vastly expanding empire have not doubled with it. On the contrary, it was revealed last week that even since 2011, successive budget cuts have resulted in the NPWS slashing its staffing of rangers by one-third, thereby impairing its capacity to conduct hazard reduction burns. But before Carr took over, much of the coastal bushland now locked up in the national park was prudently managed state forests, where fuel loads were kept down by logging programs and regular thinning and cattle grazing occurred. So, there's that. And now, more information has come out that according to the New South Wales Police Force website, they report since Friday 8, November 2019, legal action, which ranges from cautious to criminal charges, has been taken against 183 people, including 40 juveniles, for 205 brushfire-related offenses. Of note, 24 people have been charged over alleged deliberately lit bushfires. 53 people have had legal actions for allegedly failing to comply with the total fire ban, and 47 people have had legal actions for allegedly discarding a lit cigarette or match on the land. Russell Crowe, due to the fires in his home country of Australia, was unable to attend the Golden Globes and accept his award. He instead sent a letter that was read by Jennifer Aniston on his behalf when he was awarded Best Actor Award for his work on the series The Loudest Voice. In this letter, he blamed global warming for the fires. If it was me, I would have had blamed the 24 arsonists. But that's just me. More on Iran. The Obama administration really was a foreign policy disaster. One of the biggest blunders, not even sure if we can call it a blunder, was the Iranian nuclear deal. According to Fortune.com, the U.S. announced the controversial nuclear deal with Iran on July 13, 2015. At a news conference on January 16th, President Obama declared the U.S. was lifting the first raft of sanctions against Iran. He also stated that the U.S. would return $1.7 billion to Iran, as agreed on the negotiations at Hague. That same day, Tehran released the U.S. hostages, and the U.S. freed seven Iranians detained for violating financial and other U.S. sanctions on their home country. Hence, the return of the five Americans appeared to be one side of a prisoner exchange with Tehran. But what you didn't hear, Obama didn't mention that same day $400 million was shipped over 6,000 miles for deposit into Iran's treasury. The shipment was a secret until the Wall Street Journal broke the story on August 2nd, 2015, so a month after. Since then, Republicans from Donald Trump to Paul Ryan have assailed the White House for paying a gigantic ransom when government-paid ransoms is barred under the U.S. law, and for hiding the ploy from a public already highly skeptical of the U.S.-Iranian nuclear agreement. President Obama denied the payment to Tehran was a ransom. The White House contends the payment simply settled decades-long financial dispute. Some might call this quid pro quo, but I digress. Our meddling in foreign affairs has been a disaster. We create problems, and then we back out. We create more problems, then we throw the money at them. We create more problems and push democracy on them. We create more problems and then throw troops at them. We just rinse and repeat. At no point should conventional wisdom tell you that giving Iran $1.7 billion is a good idea. By the way, Vox does not think paying Iran $1.3 billion was a scandal. They are all for it. But think about this. Obama pumps billions of dollars into Iran, and then we are surprised that Trump drone bombs their head of military operations for killing our troops, U.S. contractors, and attacking our embassy. In one sense, Obama's foreign policy was funding that behavior. I heard it put this way, that killing Soleimani was equivalent to killing our head of CIA, FBI, and Secretary of State all in one shot. It was a big kill. We are in this mess because we refuse to obey the word of God. Of course, there are all sorts of just war theory issues here, but I want to bring this down to this, because this is not often considered when talking about our foreign policies. The Bible explicitly commands us not to bribe. Proverbs 21:14. A gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom, strong wrath. Give gifts and not bribes. This should be especially applied to the Middle East. One last thing about the Middle East. On Monday, the Iraqi parliament voted on a non-binding resolution to expel U.S. military from the region. This, of course, is political, as they are trying to appease the Iranian government while allowing for the protection they really want from the U.S. troops. In the news, you're hearing it reported as that the Iraqi parliament has voted to expel the U.S. military out of the region, but really it's just a non-binding resolution, and I think it's just political. More, of course, will be developing regarding the Iran-Iraq story, so stay tuned. On to the Golden Globes. I know Toby has reported on the Golden Globes, but there is something here I want to catch. If you missed the Golden Globes like I did, don't worry, I have you covered here. To my delight, British comedian Ricky Gervais was invited to host the Golden Globes. I have followed Ricky for a while, and sometimes his humor really gets my funny bone, and other times he gets the trash can. But what is consistent about Ricky is that he does not care what is cool and what is culturally acceptable, and that is what keeps me engaged with this Twitter account. As you know, the Golden Globes is for the Hollywood elite to pat themselves on the back and pretend they have some sort of moral ethos that matters to America. Well, Ricky utterly destroyed that on Sunday night at the Golden Globes. I mean, he just took all their logs and shoved them into their eyes beyond repair. For starters, he lambasts Hollywood's friendship with Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein, and then ends with my favorite lines of the whole night. Using Apple's TV series, The Morning Show, as kind of his jumping off point, Ricky said, "A superb drama about," maybe should I read this in my Jamaican accent here? "A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China." Obviously, Ricky's referring to the production of Apple's iPhone and other devices. "If you do win," he goes on to say, "if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make political speech. You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. If you win, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and then bleep off. It's moments like these where you're grateful for God's common grace in this world, where even believers can smell the massive hypocrisy coming out of rank Hollywood. Hollywood is full of rampant abuse of women. Children that grow up in Hollywood regularly tell the tales of the darkness of Hollywood and the enormous amount of bad storytelling and movie flops that come out of Hollywood is astounding. We often give Christian movies a bad rap, but how many Christian movies come out every year? Think about this. 2 Christian movies a year, 5, 20 Christian movies a year maybe come out of Hollywood. Well, how many pagan movies come out of Hollywood and absolutely flop or are full of lascivious trash? Tally that number. Hollywood, by far, has the worst record. So next time you see the Christian movie come out, just remember it was made with no naked women, no compromised actors, and probably produced with only a couple million bucks. Think twice about how you judge that Christian movie and why you give Hollywood a pass on the quantity of trashy movies that billow out of their cameras. Christian movies need improvement for sure. And if they were putting out 100 movies a year, we might actually think differently about the Christian movie scene. Lastly, I want to bring your attention to what's happening here in Idaho regarding Idaho's fight to end abortion. As you know, we have had Scott Herndon, the architect of our end abortion legislation here in Idaho, and the two sponsoring legislators, John Green and Heather Scott, on our show a couple of times in the past 2 years. This is their second attempt to push the end abortion legislation here in Idaho, and the momentum is building. I believe they now have 6 sponsoring legislators, which is really good. The latest development is that Scott Herndon's efforts, which began under the umbrella of AbolishAbortionID.com, and they have now started a PAC out of this initiative. The purpose of Abolish Abortion PAC is to make direct financial contributions for re-election and election to the campaigns of legislators and candidates who will fight for the abolition of abortion through the Abortion Human Rights Act bill. That's a mouthful. If enough money is raised, the PAC can also support legislators and candidates through direct expenses not coordinated with the candidate's campaign, such as direct mailers, newspapers, radio ads, so forth. A financial contribution by Abolish Abortion PAC will appear on all legislators' campaign finance reports, which people do read, and will send a clear message that the people of Idaho, through their financial contributions, want abortion ended in Idaho without compromise. To make your financial contribution to Abolish Abortion PAC, which will in turn be used to support our champion legislators, send a check payable to Abolish Abortion PAC, P.O. Box 916, Sagal, Idaho, that is S-A-G-L-E, Idaho, 83860. To stay up on what is going on, visit abolishabortionid.com. I think this is a great idea and a good way to put your money where your desires are at, and an opportunity to bless legislators that stick their neck out for this legislation. So consider giving this check, even $10. I know Scott Hernan, and he's a godly guy and with a great family, and I really am praying God's blessing on this legislative session this next year, and hopefully our financial support will really encourage them in what they're doing as they stick their necks out for ending abortion in Idaho. Well, that's all for now. This is Gabriel Wrench with Cross Politic News. You can find this show and all our others on Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitic.com or fightlaughfeast.com. If this show has been helpful to you, please spread the word and share it with your friends, and please consider becoming a member. Your support is allowing us to build a network of Christian media. And as always, let us know if this has been helpful. Join us tonight, Wednesday night, 7 p.m.com for our midweek fix.